Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and this is my mum, Lenny.
Hi.
How are you, Mum?
I'm a bit tired, darling.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. Every hour on the button. Ah, wah.
Yeah, the 8 month regression is cool, and the stomach bug that both my children have had over the weekend is it's the first time we've actually experienced like
a double up,
a double whammy,
a double projectile vomit.
But it's okay. Today is a beautiful autumnal day. It's
gorgeous.
Crisp. Blue skies, my favourite time of year. And we have got a Halloween party coming up. So we have lots of pumpkins. We went to a pumpkin patch. It felt quite American.
It was sweet.
It was funny. It was in Wimbledon Common and...
Wimbledon Park.
I wouldn't say it's so much a pumpkin patch. It was...
pumpkins on the ground.
Pumpkins strewn across a park. But you got a wheelbarrow and it was quite good fun. So we picked up like about 8 pumpkins. So we decided to use some of that pumpkin meat. Should you call it meat? Yeah, pumpkin
flesh.
Meat. Flesh. Pumpkin flesh for our guests today. And I thought of a chai pumpkin cake with cream cheese frosting and maple covered pecans would be quite nice. And then I realised that it's kind of like... it's like the seasonal Starbucks thing, the chai latte we've done. Apart from, yeah, so that's what we're doing. We're doing a bundt cake. I don't know if it's going to taste nice. It looks very pretty.
I've done little finger sandwiches.
We've done little finger sandwiches and we're going to have a cup of tea, maybe a glass of Prosecco.
Yeah, and Bob's your uncle.
And Bob's your uncle. Mum, you're really excited about this guest, aren't you?
We've been together for so long. Is that how it starts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Rick Astley.
And I'm never going to give him up.
Do you know how sick he is probably of hearing that?
Yeah, but actually an American football team adopted that song about 4 years ago and it revamped the whole thing.
Well,
again.
I'm interested about this. Whether
because he was in Stott Aitken Waterman.
Yeah.
So he must know Jason and Kylie.
And the Goss.
Who's the Goss?
The Gossip.
Were they in Stott Aitken Waterman?
No, Mum.
Oh, well, the gossip.
Beth Ditto was about 5.
You mean whether Kylie and Jason really were an item?
They were an item. We all know that.
Were they really?
Yes.
We don't really.
I want to know. I'm really interested about that kind of hit factory. Apparently, Rick became a kind of viral meme, or Never Gonna Give You Up did. I didn't know this. I still don't really understand. It's called Rick Rolling. And I don't understand it, so I'm going to have to get him to explain.
Don't know, but you know who his best mate is?
Who?
Mary Berry.
Can't believe that.
I think he's probably had a better cake than we're going to
oh,
give
Oh, God.
Today.
Oh, no.
She's the queen. She played drums on his set.
You're
when
blowing
he just
my mind.
Did a festival recently.
What?
Have you not seen it on YouTube?
Oh
Mary
my
Berry
God.
Playing drums. Just have a look. Mary Berry playing drums on Rick Astley's set. And there she is banging her drums away, age 83 or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
It's got a deeper voice than George Ezra.
Rick Astley coming up on Table Manners.
Hi, I'm Lenny. I'm Jessie's mum.
How are you doing? Very nice to meet you.
So excited to meet you.
Rick Astley, thank you for coming over for tea.
Absolute pleasure. Glad to be here. It's kind of a nice day out there as
it's
well.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Sort of, yeah, it kind of feels nice to be having tea with you ladies this afternoon.
You've already done like a TV thing with...
I've been eating already.
You've been eating already.
I've had a big morning of eating. We didn't actually eat a lot, to be honest, but we tasted a lot of wonderful things. Yeah,
oh, so, nice.
Yeah, no, it's really good, really
good. Well, Mum's hoping that you're going to have a glass of Prosecco. It just enables her to
I'm not
be able
normally
to
a bubbly drinker, but no, he doesn't. If you're going bubbly
I'll have a big glass of wine,
okay.
If you prefer
sounds
that,
sounds good.
Darling.
Yeah, I'll go with the flow.
Don't even
with,
need to ask okay. me twice.
But it's funny, obviously, if you go to a wedding or a function, a do,
you
get served something bubbly, don't you? And I do, obviously. I'm not rude, so I'll drink it.
Some people don't like it.
It's not my favourite thing, no. And all our friends, like proper friends, they know. So when my wife and I would turn up, they just immediately put that back in the, you know, so ice bucket and, you know.
What will you have?
I always drink wine, really, red or white. I love beer still as well. I'm a real big sort of beer.
You've got your own beer?
I have, yeah, I have. So my wife's from Denmark, from Copenhagen.
Really?
Yeah, and a Danish company got in touch with us, Mikkeller, they're called. And it so turns out that Mikkel, who is Mikkeller, was a bit of a fan of mine when he was a kid, and he said, I want to make you a beer. So he's made two, and any day now we're getting the third one. So, yeah, and they
opened what kind of beer is it?
Well, it was like a pils and a lager we've got, and they're doing like an amber ale now. A lot of the beers they do, I've been on a bit of an exploration with them, those guys, because we've been to Belgium and stuff and tasted some really unusual things.
Are Danish beers like blonde beers?
They
like
can be anything. Not necessarily, no. The whole...
Is Heineken Danish?
Heineken is Dutch.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh, my word, woman.
I'm supposed to be
Carlsberg
not,
is what you're after.
Carlsberg.
And Tuborg. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's a massive tradition, obviously, all over Europe with beer, and we all have our own way of thinking about it and everything, but... this is like craft brewing. It's a totally different thing, and they've got bars all over the world. Like they've got one in Tokyo that we've actually been to, which, believe it or not, has got a Rick Astley toilet. So the only music they not in the bar.
They just play your music.
Just you go in the bathroom
on the loop.
It's just yeah.
Never gonna give you up.
Anything
and
of that ilk. Yeah, yeah. But usually never gonna give you up. Yeah, but yeah. So that was pretty. We had to go to that bar. We've been to a few. They've got them. I mean, they're all over Europe as well in different places. So they wanted to open a bar in London, and we're involved in that. My wife and I and everything. So
where's it gonna be in London?
The first bar is right in. Oh, hello, cat.
There's bloody cat. Every time we do a podcast now, he's in.
Well, I'm big on cats. We had a brother and a sister who are not with us anymore. They passed last year, and we had them for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, you know, they're sort of part of the family, aren't they, big time? So it's really kind of...
What were they called?
Charlie and Skye. So, yeah, it was kind of really hard. We had to have them put down in the end. Aww. Not at the same time.
I know, it's horrible.
It's really, really
Rick,
hard.
Where do you come from originally?
I'm actually from... I was born in Lancashire, in a
I'm
town
Lancashire.
Called...
I'm Lancashire.
Are you?
Manchester.
Oh, Manchester United.
Of course.
Man United, of course. Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to do?
Oh, I don't know what we're going to do.
Oh,
what are
my
you again?
God.
I'm United.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, my husband's Spurs.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll forgive him for that. You know what I mean?
He's like, I like Spurs.
You know what?
I always still think of them as the underdog, even though I know they're
I know exactly what you mean.
We're number, what are we, 12?
Don't even think about it right
12?
Now.
12?
Yeah, it's not good right now.
But growing up, what did you want to be? Did you want to be a singer?
I think I did want to be a singer. I used to play drums, probably 15 when I got on the first drum kit ever at school. And I just loved it. And I kind of knew I was going to love it. And I don't know, really. I got into a band with some friends. And we were definitely not the cool kids, not by a long stretch.
What was the music like?
Well, we just did covers, to be honest.
What happened to you? You went from being a drummer... to them being a lead singer, kind of did it as a favour, it seems like, or not?
I did a couple of things once or twice. Like, for instance, one of my best friends who I was in a band with, his stepdad had a band, and their lead singer, when they were doing like the clubs and what have you around Christmas, just lost their voice. So I stepped in and did it for them. I was 17 or 18 or something like that. Yeah, and I was singing like a lot of old rock and roll songs and stuff. But it was an amazing experience, It also kind of frightened me a little bit and thought, wow, that's really tough. Because doing the club circuit's tough. It's not like doing, you know what I mean? It's not like doing a, it's just a totally
different
thing.
People are not always listening.
Oh, no.
People can be mean.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
But then how does Pete Waterman then step into this?
Yeah, well, simply because we had some guys looking after us in terms of management. and they knew Pete.
So it was getting serious.
Yeah, well, they actually managed a lot of people, for instance, who were on Coronation Street and things like that. And Gordon Burns used to do the X Factor.
Gordon Burns.
So they were a bit more TV than they were rock and roll, let's say. But they did have some bands. And one of them had a connection to Pete Waterman, got him to come to see our band and a few other bands.
What was your band called?
At that time we were called FBI, because Neddy, the guitar player who started the band, was a Shadows freak. And so he had the black strat and everything, and he wanted to sort of, you know, Shadows were his thing. For younger viewers, get on the internet right now.
I don't
now.
Know what Shadows. The Shadows
okay.
are.
Jessica!
You're going to explain that?
Cliff Richard and the Shadows.
Was his
they were
band.
His backing band. And they did a particular walk, didn't they?
They did indeed.
They used to do this. So they used to do...
For everyone listening to this, we're getting a... Oh, we're getting
Jesus,
a...
We're, mommy, all right, would you drop
we're getting a full demonstration here.
And they used to do a little
they did.
Dance. And that's what they did. All the way through the song.
Pretty much. That was, you know what I mean?
So did your mate do the dance whilst...
I don't think he ever did it in front of us. I don't seem to remember. He might have done at one point
but
for
it. But what you don't realise, they were fantastic guitarists, the Shadows.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah.
They were amazing.
I mean, of its time and of its moment, it was probably super cool. Do you know what I mean? But I think we were teenage kids and I did think, hang on a minute, what about... And you anything else, if you know what I mean. No offence to the Shadows, but I'm saying we should be trying to... do our own stuff, and we should, and that's kind of how I became a singer, because I borrowed a guitar, I kind of learnt a couple of chords from one of the other guitar player, Will, and I just sort of came back to practice and said, well, what about this? And they all kind of looked at me and went, well, you're now going to sing it then, Big Ed. So that's how I became the singer, really.
So then Pete Waterman comes and watches you.
Yeah, a little time after that, yeah. And he just liked my voice, and he...
But you have got a really great voice.
Thank you.
It's very deep and lovely.
Thank you. And he kind of felt he could do something with that. But at the time, nobody outside the business would have known who Pete Waterman was. He was not a famous person at this point. Not at all. I didn't know who he was.
He became famous because he was on Pop Idol. First.
Well, yes, yeah. it became like probably more of a household name through that.
Then.
But I mean, Stock Aitken Waterman. Those guys had so many hits at one point, it was just daft. They used to have a whiteboard on the wall and literally they would have five songs they'd written and produced in the top 20 sometimes. Wow. It was insane.
So were you best friends with Kylie and Jason?
No, not really.
Did you know them?
Not really. I mean, I met them a couple of times. I think people think we all lived in a flat together and all travelled around on a bus, and we never did. I met Kylie, I've met her a few times lately, but I mean,
have you reminisced about...
No, not really. No,
because stories.
Not exactly. No, we need to sit down with a bottle of wine to do that. I think I have done a bit with Jason a bit more because I've done a few gigs where Jason's been.
Oh,
yeah. And that's been kind of nice. And actually, when Kylie turned 50, we went to a party and stuff, and Jason was there, and also Mike Stock was there, one of the guys from this production team, and we had a bit of a natter for quite a while actually, and it was quite funny because. I don't know, obviously water goes under the bridge. You know, we were kids. I'm not saying we did what we were told. I think, again, there was quite a bit written about that, like, it's this conveyor belt and, you know...
The hit factory.
Yeah, and it was a hit factory because they kept having hits and they kept kind of churning them out. But I don't think they ever sat down and thought, let's just churn out another hit. To them, they loved the whole process of songwriting. I think they were more in love with songwriting than they were production, to be honest, but you'd have to ask them that. But they kind of found this sound or created a sound, I should say, really. Because when I first went there, I signed a deal with them, their production company, to have a go at making a record. So for me, I'm thinking, great, I'll get to have a go at making a record and see how that works. I wasn't thinking, right, I've just signed to Virgin or Universal or some monster big label and we're going to have this massive. I thought, this is a little outfit, we'll see how it goes. Mm. They just happened to have a number one record, literally like the week.
Which one was it?
The first one, I think, was Princess Say I'm Your Number One, which is 1985.
Say I'm Your Number One.
There you go.
And
boom.
More.
Boom. Drop the mic. And then Spin Me Round by Dead or Alive. You spin
me right round, baby, right round, like a
massive
hurricane.
But they're completely different. They don't. Yes. I mean, if you hear this record that your mum's singing, the Say I'm Your Number One, it's kind of like a pop soul kind of. It's a totally.
But
different
who was
record.
The other one? Sonia.
No, but she came much later.
Oh, she came much later. Yeah, we all know Sonia.
I'd say shortly after that, or a little while after that, was Mel and Kim. And again, those three artists and record don't sound anything like each other.
What was Mel and Kim's song?
Oh, Oh, there you go. I'll need more than coffee for this in a minute.
Get the premature.
So anyway, what I was kind of getting to was, they found a sound and they found a way of doing things. And I think they then sort of fitted the artists that they had signed, especially, or that they'd kind of cultivated to work with, i.e. Kylie and stuff. They wanted to do that. And Mel and Kim, I think, were on their label even, I think, or a label they helped set up. And I was signed to their production company. I did get released on RCA and BMG, Worldwide, Boom, all the rest of it. But I did actually sign to their very small production company. And they created their sound, and we all fitted into it. And I think DJs, journalists, a lot of people kind of poo-pooed it and kind of hated it, to be honest, because it was kind of very
pop.
It was very pop.
Well, I guess that's like people having an issue with Max Martin at a certain point when,
to some degree,
he was dominating the charts with Britney and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, but Backstage Boys now. I'd like to see them.
That's the tribute.
I think Stock Aitken Waterman definitely kind of either they or somebody within it all, or somehow they became a really big name, and they were almost their records. We sang them, and then it changed obviously because Kylie became massive, Jason became massive. I did all right, you know. So you become an artist in your own right, if you like. But it's almost like, oh, this is the next Stock Aitken Waterman record.
Who wants it? You're going to have it.
Yeah, slightly different with Jason and Kylie because they were already famous because of being on TV. But I'm saying if you'd signed to their production company, people's ears were pricked up more because it was a Stock Aitken Waterman record. And who's this dude called Rick with a quiff who looks about 11? So, and then eventually you start to get your own thing going. And what was weird for me was that when I went to America, nobody had a clue who they were. So it was like starting again. But I kind of liked it because it was like all the interviews aren't about. Yeah. And I've no problem talking about it, by the way. But I'm saying, you know, it was relentless because they were like a household name here. Yeah, do you know what I mean? So it was a bit daft
but
at
then
times.
You're Never Gonna Give You Up became very famous in America recently.
Because
it was an American football team adopted it.
Well, it's sort of, I think what's happened with that song, it's just sort of become something else. I don't mind at all because I it's my tune because I sung it, but it's also, it's so long ago that
it belongs
kind of
to us too.
Well, there you go, love. That's a very nice way of putting it. Yeah. But I think so many people have done crazy and weird things with it.
Yeah, can you explain Rickrolling to me?
Because
I don't understand.
I think what it means. The original one was that somebody sent an email, and within that email there'd be a link to obviously a video. You'd click on it, and it could be somebody baking a lovely cake. Mm. It could be somebody doing something rude. It could be anything. It could be like the winning, you know, in a game of football.
Fine.
It could be anything. And then a few seconds into it, or at the really pivotal moment of that video, it would click into my video, Never Gonna Give You Up, you see.
Why?
Which was probably humorous for a few seconds, and after a while became unbelievably boring for people because it also did this thing. On one of them, I think it actually took over your computer for a while and you had to turn it off to get it to...
Oh my God, it's like hacking. It was like a virus.
It was a bit of
you were a virus.
On. Kind of, yeah.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
I think it was
Jesse, sort of more rude.
Of a meme thing, but it also, you know. And then from that, every now and again, it resurfaces and someone makes another prank video or does something. The White House Rickrolled themselves. Somebody on the White House staff, this is when Obama was in the White House. So everybody, including the President of the United States, got an email that day that Rickrolled them. And I think that's pretty cool as
well.
That
is cool.
Yeah. So, and there's been a few like that that have been kind
so
of a
President
bit mad.
So President Obama knows who you are?
Of course he does anyway, though.
Yeah, I mean, he might do. He might do.
He's massive in America.
I did all right there, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
What did your mum and dad think? What did your parents do? Were they...
My mum and dad split up when I was about four, and I'm the youngest of four kids. I'm actually the youngest of five kids. They had a son who passed away before I was born and before the next eldest was born. I'm the youngest. They divorced when I was about four. My mum kind of went to work in an office and do an office sort of job in a local company. And then when she was, I can't remember what age exactly, but I'm going to say late 40s, I think. She played piano really well as a kid, like really amazingly well, could sight read, you know, classical and play it and everything. And one of her friends used to do sort of operatic singing at events and things. Not like mega professional, but, you know, they'd go and, you know. And my mum used to put a nice frock on and go and play with this friend of hers and do this thing. And cut a long story short, she was invited to play in a wine bar. And she said, and it's not like my mum's posh, but I can just see her saying this. I'm a middle-aged woman. I can't go and possibly play in it, you know. Anyway, she did in the end, and she really liked it. Cut a long story short, she ended up playing piano every night.
In a wine
every
bar?
Night. No. Well, she played in a wine bar, but she also played in like a local... I don't know whether you can relate to this, but certain pubs used to have a piano room.
Yeah.
So there'd be a pub and people would go to drink in it. And then some people might get a sherry or whatever it be and go into the piano room and listen and maybe sing and what have you. And I'm probably making it a bit more quaint than perhaps it was. But she had a circle of friends there as well. And that's how she quit her job. I became a professional musician.
How
in her
old
mid-life.
Were you when this happened?
I was probably a teenager. I was probably mid to late teens, I think. She learnt to drive. It's crazy. My mum's still alive. She's in her 80s, but she learnt to drive and took on being a professional piano player in her midlife. I think that's pretty bizarre. Pretty amazingly bizarre, you know.
Yeah.
My dad had a great singing voice, but never did anything. He wasn't a singer. He just sang around the house a lot. I think it was pretty weird for them, to be honest.
They weren't together, were they?
No, not at all.
Did you live with your dad?
I lived with my dad through the week and spent the weekends at my gran's where my mum lived.
Right. So are you a foodie?
I am, yeah. I mean, I don't
do
really
cook.
No,
that's
I don't.
That's okay.
My wife's a really good cook.
Oh, is
cook.
She?
Yeah.
Do you eat a lot of Danish food?
Well, we do certain Danish things. I think what we have kind of, or I have kind of inherited from that is that the Danes have eaten well for a long time. They eat pretty healthy. I know they have Danish pastries.
They do have a lot of cheese, though.
They do have a lot of cheese,
and bacon.
Yeah. They do. Well, they ship most of the bacon here, to be honest.
Do they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
They're not bothered about it?
No, they do. They do like their bacon, but they're always moaning because the best bacon comes here, evidently. Yeah, which is a weird thing.
Is Jansen's Temptation from Denmark?
No, Swedish.
Swedish.
Anyway,
right, what's that then?
It's like a dauphinoise.
Oh, really?
It's done
with like anchovies, but and like crisp bread on top.
Oh, sounds
good. It's really
good.
Nice. Mm. It's, okay, in the book.
Okay.
It's in our cookbook.
Great.
We'll get you a copy.
Absolutely. Bring it on. My wife will be all over that.
So what does your wife cook that's like
just
traditionally...
a bit of everything. Well, one of the things that she gets asked to make is a thing called, which is in Danish is pronounced kajsel, which is curried herrings, which sounds a bit awful, but is amazing.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's freaky good. And
so
Lena's
it's
mom,
fresh herring.
Yeah. But what you do is you cut up apple as well. Into like chunks of apple, and you boil egg and cut that up and put it into it, and then there's this curry sauce. Is how I can describe it, and it doesn't sound that amazing.
Do you eat it hot or cold?
No, you eat it cold on rye bread. And the thing is,
so it's like a coronation chicken, but with a coronation herring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and listen, believe me, I had to kind of like steel myself to eat it the first time. But my God, once you've had it, it's like it's slightly addictive.
Oh, and I get it.
And we moved about 6 years ago, and we used to live across the road from some really lovely people who were still really good friends with, and were godparents to a couple of their kids and stuff. So sometimes we'd nip over at Christmas. They've got a really big family anyway, but we'd go over sometimes and maybe not do the Christmas lunch with them, but I think we have a few times. But you know, we'd get together at some point, and Lena, my wife, had to make a huge bowl because they've got quite a few boys as well in their family, you know, and girls, but they've got a few boys that could eat, you know, for England kind of thing. And she'd have to make this huge bowl
everyone
of it.
Loves it.
Yeah. And she made her own rye bread as well, and she still does.
Wow.
And they when we go and visit them now, Christmas or not, or whatever time of year, she has to bring a bowl of this and a rye bread.
Is it pickled herring?
Yeah.
So I've got some in the fridge.
I like the idea of this.
And it's called kaiser.
Yeah, kaisil, because sil, S-I-L-D, is how they pronounce it. But curried herrings. If you find curried herrings,
kaisil.
Not everyone puts egg and apple in it, I don't think, but I think you should.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah. You know what? I'm actually really hungry. Can we just have the little... we've just made finger sandwiches.
Right.
And then some cake too.
We're having tea.
Are you ready for a cup of tea?
Yeah, I'd love a cup of tea.
Yeah? Okay. Mark, thanks. whilst Mum makes a cup of tea and gets the sandwiches. So growing up within the house, when you were younger, who did the cooking?
Well, we had a housekeeper, which is kind of, yeah, was a bit odd, really, because... Mrs. Hill, who, you know, became a massive figure in my life. She was never going to, you know, take the place of my mum, obviously. Thank you. She was the woman in our house, if you like, you know what I mean? And would be there kind of, you know, as we woke up, and would be there when I got home from school and stuff. And in to be in your dad's house rather than your mum's house in a, you know, a broken family, if you want to call it that, was kind of odd back then. It's probably a lot more normal now, and so it should be. But back then it was kind of unusual because I'm from a very working class town. My dad had a little business. He had a little garden centre, but we weren't wealthy. We weren't poor by any stretch of the imagination, but we weren't wealthy.
Did you have sugar or milk?
No, thanks. Just some milk. Builder's tea would be great, please. Nice and strong.
Help yourself to some sandwiches.
Thank you, my love.
So the housekeeper lived with your dad?
She didn't live with us. She just lived down the road. But she'd be there literally as we woke up and stuff. So we had... It wasn't like we just grew up with my dad, if you know what I mean, in terms of him trying to take care of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but my dad did cook sometimes, which, again, was probably a bit freaky if you think back to those days. It was, you know, it was a woman's place to be in the kitchen, wasn't it? I don't mean I'm saying that.
No,
I'm saying,
no,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that was the way society looked at the world sometimes. Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
So what did Mrs. Hill
cook?
What was her meal? What was your most memorable meal that Mrs. Hill used to make?
She used to make Lancashire hot pot. I seem to remember that was pretty amazing, actually, if you get the crust right, you know. One of the things I used to love was potato cakes.
I love potato cakes.
No, I haven't had potato cake for years, actually, thinking about it, yeah. I don't think I grew up a foodie in any way, just not even close to it. I think the most exciting thing to look forward to was that we used to go to a Chinese restaurant with my auntie's family sometimes, which was like so exotic. It was just off the scale, you know, and it was in a beautiful little part of Cheshire as well. So it was an event to go to it, if you know what I mean. And again, something that would be a treat with that we'd go to a pub where you'd have like, you know, scampi and chips or God knows what is pub food back then, you know. I didn't really grow up in a foodie family in that way at all.
Are you touring in England at all?
We are going to tour in England, but that's next April. We go to Australia and New Zealand and Japan first in February and March, and then we come back here. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
So, this is for 50.
No, we're doing a best of at the moment, and we're kind of like.
Haven't you already had a greatest hits?
I might have done a long time ago, yeah, but I'm not done for a long time, yeah. And
I knew this.
Sorry.
I knew this, and you said it's the 51.
I don't even know either.
Jesse,
it's fine.
You're a real fan.
I'm not a pro, sorry.
So basically what I've done is I've re-recorded a lot of the old songs again.
Right.
So all the original versions are there, but we've literally done them again. And partly because... When we discussed this thing about doing a best of, I was kind of saying, well, yeah, but it's all out there.
Yeah,
how can you just repackage it and say, here is again, folks? It's like, you've got to do something with it. So we recorded one brand new song, and then I think I did 11 in the end of all the old ones. So Never Gonna Give You Up, Together Forever, and a bunch of others. And a couple of the newer ones as well, I've kind of just redone for fun and just said, well, boom, that's that. And it's been really interesting to do because, for one, some of them are really old, like really old, and... I've been singing them a long time. I stopped for about 15 years in the middle of it all. I say the middle of it all, it sounds so whatever. I just stopped and never thought I'd do it again, to be honest.
Because you were just sick of it.
I was sick of it. We'd had our daughter.
How many children have you got?
Just one. And I just kind of, I wasn't really enjoying it, that's for sure. And it wasn't really a lot about music. I wasn't really doing a whole lot of music. Mm. I did a lot of, you know, miming on TV. I did a lot of, because again, in the late 80s and possibly early 90s, I guess, you went on TV and mimed. You didn't really go on TV and sing.
Mm.
Nobody sang on Top of the Pops.
Really? What?
No,
nobody.
Darling.
If you go back to like Duran Duran, one of the things I loved about them, when they were on Top of the Pops, every now and again, they'd just all swap instruments. So like,
Jesse, didn't you know?
John Taylor and Andy Taylor should be playing guitar and bass. They just swap around and said, I'll do that tonight.
I would have thought that, yeah, but I mean, singing was live.
Yeah, no.
No.
What?
Nobody sang live.
Everyone, that
no
was
one
the
sang
whole
live.
Point.
Nobody sang
However
live.
However good you were at lip syncing
Quite often
was
people would
thing.
Go on, they wouldn't even bother to use a microphone.
No.
They'd just sing to the camera.
That's really depressing.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to know how you became best mates with Mary Berry.
Well, whilst we have some cake, which is definitely not going
to
sound
one more
taste
sandwich before
as
we
good.
Get to the cake.
More sandwiches, darling.
Now, can I just say,
do you want a glass of wine?
Oh,
like,
yeah, come on. Yeah.
Do you want a glass of red or a little
whatever
white?
Whatever you're going to open or you've got to open.
I'll open.
Love it.
Because we all drink.
Okay.
Well, I do.
Okay.
It'll be a little tipple. Yeah, disclaimer. Who knows what this is going to taste like, but the icing is sweet and there's enough of it.
Oof,
oh my God.
Word. Are you okay?
Yeah, what happened?
No, I was looking at Alice.
Oh.
Oh, it's just a spilt glass.
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, it didn't break, anyway. It didn't break.
Do you want some cake, by the way?
Yeah, everyone has some. Actually, you know what? It's I hate the word. It's moist.
Oh moist. If you only knew.
What?
Can even, well,
oh my God, tell me, are you about to say something about moist?
Well, I have fans who hold up cards that say moist.
Oh my God, oh my what? God. What? Why?
Disgusting.
That is a really weird way to say that they're really enjoying
because,
your show.
No, it's because, you know when you're on stage and you say something a bit, not weird, but just comes out of your mouth and you think, what the, why the...
Yeah, you know, I do that all the time,
okay.
Yeah.
So... I don't know where we were, and it was raining, and I said, oh, my God, you poor people, da-da-da, you know, you must be soaked. Are you wet? Are you... And it just came out. I just said, moist. And I
moist?
Just burst out laughing, and my band, and I looked right at Simon playing drums, and he's just falling apart, and I'm just thinking, oh, my God. And then sure enough, like a week later, or wherever we were later, and someone had come to the gig again, and the holder, and that... So...
That is a really unfortunate...
It is, but it's also... It's like a really old... way of describing that condition, if it is a condition. Do you know
condition?
What I mean? Or just, I don't know what it is, but it's moist. You know what I mean?
I love let's enjoy my
on.
Moist cake.
Well, the cake's
darling.
Fantastic.
It's quite good.
Mm. It's a terrible word, moist.
It's all right, this. I mean, I am definitely not a baker, but speaking of bakers...
I'm liking it, by the way.
How on earth did Mary Berry end up playing drums for you at Camp Festival?
She was doing a show where... The whole thing was about being at a festival and the food at a festival and how you are at a festival, you know. And so she taught me how to make muffins, and I don't cook at all, really. I mean, I can feed myself if I'm on my own, and also because I'm so lucky that I get to eat in a lot of great places here, there and everywhere with work and stuff. I'm quite happy sometimes to go home and just have beans on toast or a cheese sandwich because I'm just kind of like, whatever, I'm over it. I don't need to, you know. But anyway, she taught me to make these muffins, which were amazing.
What were they?
Well, they were like, they weren't sweet in any way. They actually had some basil in them.
Were they a savoury muffin?
Wow. Yeah, savoury, yeah. Okay. But really amazing. Like, really good, actually. Kind of, I'm just, you know. I mean, I've gone sweet with this right now. Hang on.
Is that nice?
It's good.
I think it's all right, you know. I'm not, it's almost too moist, I hate to say it.
It can never be too moist.
That's what she said.
And then I think it was my wife actually who had the idea. She said, well, why doesn't Rick teach Mary how to play drums? So, and the answer came back, yes. So we're like, bring
Bless
it on.
Her.
So we were doing this festival, obviously, Camp Festival. So she, well, it was an amazing, the whole thing was great, really, because it's a very family festival and it was just a lot of fun. So early on in the set, we'd arranged that Mary would come up. And in the afternoon, I kind of showed her a little bit on the drums and what have you. And she came up all guns blazing.
Did she remember really, what you taught her?
Well, I wouldn't say, and I mean this with all the love in the world, I wouldn't say she's going to be taking over for, you know, she's not going to be taking the seat of the Foo Fighters, Taylor Hawkins, any day soon.
Wow.
But
she had
just
a
the
go.
Fact, just the fact that she came out in front of, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people at a proper festival and just... leathered them.
Speaking, and what a perfect sequence into
another
live situation you found yourself in.
Yeah, bonkers, yeah.
You were both playing Summersonic, Summersonic in Japan, which is like supposed to be the most amazing festival.
It was really good, yeah, it's amazing.
And you were playing, and so was the Foo Fighters, and you're a massive Foo Fighters fan.
I am, yeah.
So...
Well, the weird thing was, I have a couple of friends, and we have a midlife crisis rock band. And the only way we get away with it is because we always give the money to charity. We're called the Luddites, and we do little gigs around where we kind of live and what have you. We played Shepherd's Bush Empire, by the way.
Wow, hold
the
phone.
Hold the phone. We got some help to do that. But anyway, we did it. So we only play like punky stuff from when we were learning and what have you, from back when we were teenagers and stuff.
And any of the old FBI members in there?
Oh, no. No. We're talking like...
Surrey's Finest.
No, we're talking like, for instance, if we let's say we do Sex Pistols, Clash, anything from when we were kids.
Yeah.
That we remember getting in our first bands and going, well, how do you play this? How do you do that? And like I say, I ended up in a band that was a Shadows freak, Neddy, love you, but freak. but a lot of the songs that bands of the, you know, and we did occasionally, we learned something that, like Teenage Kicks, for instance, because it's, you know, punk, the whole ethic of punk
song,
was about almost anyone can do it. They couldn't, but it felt like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this midlife crisis rock band called the Luddites that
love
I have
it.
With my friends, we also murder some Foo Fighters songs. So,
which
really,
ones?
We do Times Like These.
Great song.
Which is a bitch, because I have to sing it and drum it.
Oh my God, you are Dave Grohl.
I would hardly say I'm Dave Grohl, to be honest, but I...
In your head, you are.
Oh, in my head, I am. Of course I am. Yeah, of course. So anyway, I am very aware of their music, and I've been a big fan of theirs for years. It wasn't just that night kind of thing. And so we'd played at the festival that afternoon and what have you, and we were just hanging out. It was Japan. We were all, I say we, my wife and the band, crew, various members, we were all a bit jet-lagged. We'd had a few beers because we're done. We're like, you know, yeah. We've got one more gig somewhere in Tokyo in a day
Lovely.
Or two. We're done. We've, you know, let's have a few beers. And we got on the side of the stage behind a barrier watching the band, and Dave Grohl comes walking over. And we all moved because we thought... Because one of the guitar players, Chris, he'd come over to some other friends, and we thought that Dave Grohl was doing the exact same thing. We thought he's coming to this, he must know these people as well. So we're all moving out of the way, and he's kind of following me, and I'm going, what? And then he gave me a big hug. And so we, you know, said hello and all the rest of it. He goes back out. This is in the middle of the set.
Oh my God.
The plane. Never met them. So then he's out there, and then all of a sudden the barrier is moved away half an hour later. One of the tech guys hands me a mic and said, Dave wants you out front.
Oh, my God. This is like...
For what reason exactly? What?
You know. Bradley Cooper watch this and reimagine it in A Star Is Born and you were Lady Gaga singing Shallow?
If only I were Lady Gaga. it was mad.
And what? And they reimagined it in a kind of Foo Fighters way.
Yeah, because I didn't know this at the time. But they knew the tune, and I think they'd kicked it around because they'd done it on something or whatever. But I didn't know that. Obviously, I didn't know that. And so he just whispers in my ear. He says, so we're going to do your tune, but it's going to be a bit like Teen Spirit.
Sick!
I'm like, yeah.
How does that work?
Why would that not be happening right now in front of 50,000 people in a baseball stadium in Japan? Yeah. This is a normal Friday night,
oh
you know what I mean?
God, I love it.
So I turned round to the audience, and I wasn't trying to be rock and roll. I genuinely was not. It just came out of me, a bit like Moist did, right? I just screamed at the top of my voice, "Come on, you motherfuckers!" Because I couldn't. I don't know. It was
this
just
is
like
a boy from Lancashire.
Well, yeah, I was about a yard in front of myself. I was about three steps in front of myself, looking at myself, screaming, "Come on, you motherfuckers!" Anyway. So they kicked off and we did it, and it was just really, really good fun. It was really good fun.
So good that you did it a year later, or you were
Yeah, well, actually, they did it. They came to London not long after that because of the release of that current album. And so they texted and said, do you want to come do your thing again? I'm like, yeah, great. You know, so I went. And the weird thing that night was that it was like, it was an arena, it was Britain. I wasn't pissed at all. It was kind of like, oh.
Yeah, slightly
but
different.
It was brilliant. It was really good fun. Because partly I hung out with them a bit before this time, and I hung out with them obviously in Japan afterwards. We all did, you know. They were just really comfy with everybody. As you know, they're just proper people, you know. Mm. And then they've reignited a festival from the 70s, and they curate it and everything in California. So we went and did that, and we hung out with them and
you
their friends.
It?
Well, I just got up and did that one
okay,
song with
good.
Them, you know what I mean? I just think it's just a fun... It's just a mad, weird, other universe thing to do. But then the weird thing was that I call him Dave now.
Of course.
Dave.
Oh, my
know.
Mate Dave.
Yeah. He texted me and said, look, I'm doing this thing for the NME. It's just this little club. I'm going to go along and just play on a guitar a song or two. And I thought you might want to come and we'd just jam a bit. And I'm like, so I'm like, so I texted him and said, yeah, great, you know, Brill, where is it, when is it, whatever.
So you're besties.
I wouldn't say besties, but he's just, they all are. They're just really, considering where they are, where they've been, what they've done, they're pretty amazing to be around. They're really comfortable people, and there's just no bullshit, and there's just sort of, you know. And when they actually go in their little jam room before they play to get warmed up for stage, it feels to me, and maybe I'm talking shop and I shouldn't be here, but I mean, it feels to me like a bunch of young guys who've just gone, fuck it, we're going to have this. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's exactly what you want it to be.
Mm.
It's not like they're all there getting out of a different limo each. And they might be. That's up to them how they travel. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is they come together as this band to go on that stage, and it's like there's still a real about it. You know what I mean?
So this was in a small place.
Oh, God. This is like 400 or 500 people. So I got there, and Rami, the keyboard player, was there as well. And so he came, and we were just... And there was a band on first anyway. So there was a bunch of gear on stage. And then, so Dave, as I now call him, was saying, well, listen, I'm going to do this track from the first album, basically. And then he said, no, we'll do your tune. And then he said, we'll do Everlong, which is one of the all-time monster amazing tracks. And he said, do you want to play drums or guitar on that? And I'm like, Dave, what are you talking? I'm not going to, what? And he said, well, I know, because he's seen me do it a little bit on...
Luddites.
Well, that and is also YouTube, you I'm cover? Guessing. We don't actually cover that, funny enough, no, but...
Were you a bit like, shit?
Well, I'm just like, so I just said to him flat, I just said, no, that ain't going to happen. Because I'm like, the reality of that is something different to discussing it over a beer in a dressing room. It's like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Because what I'm saying is, the other times, there hasn't been a whole lot of time to think about it. It's just, Foo Fighters are playing. Yeah. I'm going to get up and sing a song I've sung a million times. As long as I do my bit, they're going to be amazing. It'll be great.
Yeah.
When somebody like Dave Grohl says, do you want to play guitar or drums? Yeah. You just melt. You know, well, I did. So I said, no, I'm not doing that, Dave. Anyway, so
I think that's a bit wet.
It's a bit moist. Come on.
A bit moist.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next time they're in town.
Okay.
Right. You can come and bring your banjo.
But I think
so what happened?
Because you did get
on the drums.
No, well, the thing is, what happened was, so they go up there, the two of them. Dave plays the first song with Rami and they're playing away. And then, so the thing was, I was meant to get up and sing Never Gonna Give You Up with him and them. And but then he just goes into times like these. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's happening now, but that's fine. I'm all for it, you know. I'm a fan. I'm with the other 499 people, you know. And I just thought, there's a drum kit there, you know. Oh, bollocks. So I got on I scrabbled onto the stage because it was like packed, this place. You couldn't even get, you know. So I got up there and I just thought, right, I'm going to play drums for Dave Grohl and that's going to happen right now. Here we go.
So you stage invaded.
So I played like 3 or 4 Foo Fighter monster tunes and then we did Never Gonna Give You Up and then he ended with Everlong.
And did you play on Everlong?
Yeah.
Not so moist.
Well, I know, but it was just one of them things.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. And the weird thing is, yeah, it's if it was a friend doing it, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid. But it's almost like, don't get me wrong, I'm not being sycophantic, but I'm thinking there's a lot of people in that audience as well who are going to have a moment right now of him being able to do that, right? And what I don't want to do is mess it up, if you know what I mean. But it was so informal and so kind of like off the cuff. Again, I know I'm being, but what I loved about it was he didn't even bring a guitar. He just said, I'll just borrow one. It's sort of like 3 techs came down and said, right, how big's the stage? What are the lights like? We need 3 of Dave's guitars. We need them vacuum packed. We need them this. We need these tube amps brought in from America. It's just give me a guitar and let's go.
What a dude.
Yeah. Where did he borrow it from?
From the band who were playing that night. He knew there was a band on, so he thought, I'll borrow a guitar. I don't know whether he checked whether he was a lefty or not. You know what I mean?
My God, that's gone, so funny.
Yeah.
Felix has a lefty.
Paul McCartney.
I did not know
Paul McCartney,
that.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, I never knew.
Of course, Mum.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I never knew it.
Do you feel like all the poor left-handed people should have to play right-handed guitar?
Oh, because it's all upside down. Yeah. I just never knew that.
There you go.
There are people who can do both, and they're just freaky.
Mm. Mm.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We ask everyone, what would be their last supper?
Oh my God.
So I think starter, main, pud and drink.
If it was a last supper, I could possibly include, I'm not sure this is the right combination by
doesn't matter.
Okay, but I might go with the curried herrings thing because it's been quite a big thing in our life. It's sort of, and it's that whole epitome of something very, very, very Danish. And I really like Denmark. I've spent a lot of time there. Our daughter lives there. She's lived there for 7 years, studied there and did her master's there and everything. She now lives there.
Do you speak?
Jeg taler lille smule dansk. So.
You sound like you're in the killing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go.
Or the bridge.
Well, I am partial to a jumper, so I speak a little Danish. I understand a lot more than I speak. But our daughter speaks fluently, and like I say, she's lived there all these years.
What did you just say?
I speak a little bit. Sorry, I never thought about that. Yeah,
I thought
I
was saying, God, these bloody two women are getting on my nerves.
No.
So that would be the starter?
Ja, jeg elsker din kvinde. No, din kvinde? No, not din.
Jeg elsker det. It must be I love you.
Yeah. Well done. How did you get that?
How do you know that?
Because I had a Swedish guy that loved me for a while. Oh. You say jag älskar dig.
Yeah, jag älskar dig is how you'd say it, which is I love you in Danish. Yeah. The first sentence I learned in Danish was, hvor din tørtumbler? Which
that's
is,
a big poo.
Where is your tørtumbler? Where is your tumble dryer, sorry. There you go, yeah.
I thought it was a tørtumbler.
Tørtumbler. Tørtumbler.
So, okay, so that starter.
I think that would be, I mean, just because we're there's a bit of reminiscing going on in this conversation, and I kind of think that might be nice if it was going to be a Last Supper thing. The next dish, I think, would be, again, because it's got a lot of really good memories, spaghetti vongole, but with bataga. Have you ever had bataga?
Yes.
Yeah, which is just...
I've never had it with spaghetti like vongole, though.
Oh,
what,
really?
Bataga, what, the cheese?
No, sorry.
Oh, no, sorry,
bataga is the dried fish
the
thing.
Dried
it's like
fish,
the fish,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, and yes, I've never had that.
Yeah, it's a bit... We've been to Sardinia a lot on holiday, and I think it is Sardinian. And it's one of the things you either like it or you don't, big time. And you don't have to have it with vongole. You can just have it on like a spaghetti thing or whatever, with some oil. But it's just immense. It's just amazing. And again, we've been there so many times. I have some great memories of the kids all growing up, went with other families and stuff. And... it was just one of those things that whenever we used to have nights at the house that we rented, and then we'd go out to like three restaurants, and I would always try and get people to go to a different restaurant, and they always said no. And we'd go to one once in a blue moon. We'd been there 10 or 12 times, I think. We'd go to one, and everyone would just moan about that it wasn't like the three that we go to. So I gave up in the end. So the three restaurants, I knew exactly what I was going to eat every time I went there. And this... spaghetti vongole with targa is one of the things, and it's just amazing.
Pudding.
Oh my God, anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've got panna cotta is a real... I love panna cotta.
Love it. Which flavour?
Well, the thing is, I just actually like the...
the cream.
And I'll have anything with it. But I like anything. I'm like kind of... I still love a chocolate mousse if it's done well. I like anything. Tiramisu is still a favourite.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going a bit old school here, there's a few Italian restaurants that we've been to for years and years and years. And like, you know, one in particular has the trolley.
Oh, I love it.
Which you don't always see
the
trolley. And like, it's just, and I just say, yeah, I'll have, the lot. I'll have it all.
Do you think you've got good table manners?
I'd like to think so. I mean... it's always tricky, that, I think. And obviously in a situation like this where we're talking and eating, I don't know you're
it's
talking...
difficult,
eating,
I know.
Yeah,
it's difficult.
But, no, I think you've got great table manners.
Well, I'd like to think so, but... I'd like to think so, but I can't swear.
And what
to
can't
that.
You stand in other people when you're
I
eating?
I think one of the things is, and obviously I have listened to your podcast and what have you, and I know this question was coming, but one of the things that really irks me big time is if you, especially, well, when you're in a restaurant, rather, And people sometimes are just plain rude to the people serving you.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, you know, they're doing their job, for one thing. It's actually what they do for a living, or what they're doing for a living right now. And sometimes, you know, because I've been really lucky, we all have to go to some amazing restaurants. And sometimes people feel so privileged because they're used to being in those restaurants all the time that it's like, I don't know, it just really, I almost get embarrassed sometimes. I really do. And I just find it, so it's not table manners for the people you're eating dinner with even. It's almost the extension of it, which is, I don't know, I just really struggle with it at times.
Rick, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. I really enjoyed myself. I really have. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. I will.
Everyone in this series gets a tea towel.
I'm loving
it. So there you go. Thank you so much. I'm loving
that. Thank you. It's gorgeous as well.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Jesse doesn't like leopard, but I love leopard.
I do like leopard, just not as much as you.
Yeah.
So was the leopard your thing then?
They know it's not a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jesse's just incidental to this series. You know that.
That's fantastic.
So there is an alarm going off whilst we do this outro, but loved Rick Astley.
Just as what I expected.
But like so down, I hate using the word, but down to earth, like he's an international hit, like superstar singer.
And he's from Lancashire.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what makes the difference.
Yeah, just so lovely and so interesting.
Not pretentious,
no.
Just fun and likes what he
sense
likes.
Sense of humour.
Yeah, great.
It was such a pleasure to kind of listen to the story of how he came to be a star. I really enjoyed it. And I have to say, my pumpkin cake was pretty
moist.
Good. It was pretty moist. Thank you so much for listening. This is Table Manners. We're a little tired, but Rick Astley just warmed us all up and just
he
made everything
lovely.
Better.
He was kind of autumnal, wasn't he? I don't know that it's because the sun was
God,
shining.
Steady on Nigella.
But he was just a kind of... He was just such a nice, warm human being and just lovely and just a nice person.
As you hold your Primitivo.
Well, he liked Primitivo.
Just a lovely drinking partner.
Jesse, hell of a quiff.
Yeah, wow. If Sam, my poor husband, had seen that, he would have been very sad.
He would have had quiff envy.
He would have cried, I think. Thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying this, please subscribe.
Jesse.
If you're not, well...
You haven't sworn today.
I think I did one S-H-I-T.
I think it's making all the difference.
Okay.
I think our listeners are going to double.
Okay. I'm going to really try to not swear as much.
Good, darling.
I didn't realise it was such a problem, and I'm sorry. And on that note, I'm going to atone for my sins and go to bed because I'm bloody knackered. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.